Let's begin. Parshas Vayigash, 5, 7, 8, 1. Five to go. We're going to do it a little bit differently today. We're going to speak, I would say, straight without the sources. If you'd like the sources afterwards, I'm happy to share. So Vayigash, it's an amazing, amazing parsha. The story of Yosef and the brothers comes to its apex, to its climax in our parsha with Yosef finally. With the major reveal, the drama and the saga of Yosef and the brothers is just amazing. I'm surprised no one has made it into a movie just yet. And it finally comes to its climax with Yosef revealing himself to the brothers by saying, Ani Yosef Ha'od Avi Chai. I would like to analyze
this. Rabbi Rockowitz.
Yes. Okay, Rabbi Lapp, I see you muted. When you come back on, I would love to hear your thoughts. So we're going to highlight and focus on a few different psukim today for the majority of our Divrei Torah, for our five Divrei Torah. So the Torah tells us in Parak Memhei, V'lo yachol Yosef lisapek. Yosef could not hold it in anymore. He couldn't hold it in anymore. L'chol hanitzav imelav. To all the people around, Yehuda, Binyamin, all the brothers, and all the his counselors and aides and God, all he couldn't hold back anymore. He had to reveal himself. And he needed to veikra. Yosef then called out, "Hotziu kol ish me'alai." And he told, before he revealed himself to the brothers, he said, "Everybody get out. Everybody get out." So what does this mean? "Hotziu kol ish me'alai." Everybody remove themselves, get out of here. V'lo amad ish ito bisvada Yosef esachav, and therefore there was nobody left to reveal, right, to be there except for the brothers. He asked all of the counselors and aides to leave, and he was just there, him with his brothers, a peculiar family reunion at this moment. So what does it mean, hotziu ish alai, remove everybody? So simply put, he wanted to just share this with the brothers and not everybody, without everybody around. This would create too much of, too much concern, too many questions. He wanted to just share with the brothers. So two interpretations here. One is from the Beis Yisrael, one of the Ger Rebbe's. The Beis Yisrael writes that Hotziu Ish Me'alai, that Yosef, before he revealed himself to the brothers, he wasn't saying physically, remove all the people from here. But on one level, yes. On a different level, he was speaking to himself. Hotziu, all the ishius, all of the arrogance, all of the power, all of the anger that I have with inside of me, when I reveal myself to the brothers, I want to remove that. I want to let all of that go. I want to get rid of all of that. When I am going to have this big reveal and share this with my brothers and have this moment, this tender moment, with my brothers, I want to do it from a positive and good and safe place. I don't want to do this from a place of one of these other, from a place of arrogance, a power move, a political move. No, no, no. I want this to be real and genuine, a vulnerable moment between me and my brothers. Hotziu ish, kol ish me'alai, all the ishiut, all of those, get them out of me, remove them from me. And therefore, we could move forward and have a real, real conversation, a real connection once again. That is on one level. We understand this. That was on a deeper level. V'lo amad ish ito b'sada Yosef v'zachav, v'yitein es kolo b'vechi. Before Yosef reveals himself to the brothers, he cries. Yosef cries more than any person in the entire Torah. I believe Binyamin is a close second, and Rachel might be afterwards. It's all one family. They're very emotional. Vayishmu Mitzrayim Vishma Beis Paro. Mitzrayim heard him crying, and Beis Paro heard him crying. And then Yosef finally reveals himself to the brothers, and he says, Vayomer Yosef El Achav. Ani Yosef Ha'od Avi Chai. I am Yosef. Is my father still alive? Now, all the Mefarshim asked the question, what does it mean, Yosef, is my father still alive? They're talking about Yaakov. We went back and our father gave us food for you. Our father gave us gifts for you. and we went back to our father. And what's going to happen with Binyamin? Our father's going to be devastated. He's not going to be able to, continue on in this world if now Binyamin is going to be lost in Mitzrayim as a result of you. What do you mean? They're talking about their father all the time. So Ha'od Avi Chai, what does this mean? So the Kli Yakar shares the following interpretation. Kli Yakar was the Rav in Prague after the Maharal, the Refine Lunchitz. He writes the following. Sometimes we have a conversation. We're saying one thing, and we mean one thing, and the person that we're talking to has a completely different interpretation of this. So the Kli Yakar says, number one, Ha'od Avi Chai, he's alive. They're talking about him. And number two, the continuation of the pasuk doesn't make sense. V'lo yachlu achav la'anososo. They couldn't answer him. Ki niv halumi panav. Because they were afraid of him. Now, what does that mean? Why were they afraid of him? What were they concerned about? Ha'od Avi Chai, I'm Yosef, your brother. Ha'od Avi Chai, and we're afraid. So he says like this. Yosef was saying, when you told me before that your father was alive and that he's an old man, he's frail, and we're concerned about his health, and what's going to be. So you weren't talking to me. You were talking to this powerful ruler and this viceroy of Egypt. Maybe you weren't telling the truth. Maybe you were trying to speak to my compassion, speak to my heart, but it wasn't necessarily honest and it wasn't truthful. And now that I am telling you I am Yosef, I want to know, is he really still alive? If you do the math, he's 130 years old at this moment. Maybe he's not alive. Is Abba alive? I don't know. I really want to know. Ha'od Avi Chai. They hear this. And what do they see? What do they hear? They don't hear this. They hear Ha'od Avi. What did Yosef say? Is my father. Wait a minute. He's not his father. He's Avinu. He's our father. So they interpret this as saying, Yosef is giving us a shtach. Yosef saying, Ha'od Avi Chai, he's my father. You guys don't treat him a nice way. You didn't treat him well. You lied to him. You tortured him. You put him in pain and agony for 22 years. You don't deserve to be considered his children anymore. So he said one thing and meant it in a very meaningful, sincere way. And they interpreted it in a completely different way. And that's what they are. Ki niv halumi panav. They were afraid of him. Now is Yosef's time to attack. Now Yosef's going to really, really get us. We thought before, an anonymous guy, anonymous viceroy from Egypt, he's making our lives crazy. Yosef, as a powerful ruler of Egypt, throwing him into a pit, selling him, and putting him in jail. He's gonna make us even worse. He's going to treat us even worse. So this communication, this miscommunication between these two sides, eventually have major ramifications later on. It's very unclear later on in this story whether there was forgiveness, whether there was a real mechila that went on. Rabbeinu Bachaya writes that Yosef never forgave the brothers. The brothers never really admitted their guilt to a certain degree and asked for forgiveness. They said they're guilty here. Well, they said they're guilty a little bit earlier on in the Torah, in last week's parsha, but it didn't really come in full circle. It wasn't complete. There wasn't this openness. They didn't have this real, conversation that every, couple needs to have when they're going through a difficult time. Every, parent and child.
Well, they were still concerned.
Right. And the Kli Yakar writes, Jules, it's based on this one miscommunication between these two sides. They didn't continue this. The greatest way and most important thing that, when two people are going through a difficult time, right, what do they need to do? They need to be vulnerable with one another. They need to have a conversation. They need to connect, really, and to make sure that everything is out in the open. It's difficult. It's not easy. But to have a true, real relationship and have that connection, you really need to have that. Rabbeinu Bachaya goes to a certain degree, and he writes that to a really amazing extent, very depressing. He says that since Yosef ultimately didn't forgive the brothers, and they didn't really come and rectify this completely, that's why the Asara Harugei Malchus died. That's why the Asara Harugei Malchus, later on in history, were killed. Were killed as a retribution. Chazal put these two together, 10 for 10, as a result of this.
And again, Rabbi,
to this moment where it could have been complete mechila, and it was miscommunicated in a, you know, in a disastrous way. Yes.
So for a man, it's very hard. You can sometimes forgive, but you can't forget.
Yeah.
You know, a God, like you said, sometimes when you do tshuva, two tshuva, it's like it's wiped out, like it never was.
Yeah.
A man, it's a little, it's a lot difficult to basically just totally forget when someone does you something very wrong.
Yeah. 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 I everyone here has a lot more life experience than I do. I think it's very difficult.
Yeah.
It's, to forget is really, really hard. It's very hard. I think it's something that we need to always to work on. Forgiving is one, forgetting is the other, and they don't need to go together. Forgiving doesn't mean we forget, but we need to move past it. Sarah, one of the things that Sarah works with in a clinic, she's the head of a clinic in Muncie, that deals with very, very difficult, very, very severe and difficult cases. It's a very intensive program. It's called an intensive outpatient program. One of the, and these women have gone through very, 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 whether it's abuse, physical, sexual, whether it's other things that have gone on wrong in their lives. They've made really disastrous decisions for their own lives, parents and children, you know, et cetera, husbands and wives, very, very, very difficult situations. And one thing that is very in contemporary psychology is something called radical acceptance. Radical acceptance, and Sarah could speak more to this topic and this notion, is completely accepting the situation that I am in now. And recognizing the notion that I can't change the past. I can't control the past. I can't even control the future to a certain degree. I control my actions and my reactions to everything that happens to me, but I can't accept, I can't change what I did, and I can't change what other people did to me. It's radical acceptance. And that's one of the things that they work on with these women, because this is something that is very, very important. You know, and this is something that was probably very necessary during this time for the brothers to accept. Radical. We made horrific decisions, life-altering decisions. I'm sure to a certain degree, not on the same level, probably, we can all relate to this. We can all relate to this. And radical acceptance was something that was very necessary for the brothers on one hand and for Yosef on the other to accept at this moment.
Rabbi, you mentioned that the brothers said, the brothers never really asked Mechila. The brothers said, Ashemim, they mentioned it in Miket.
Yeah,
Ashemim Anachnu. Yeah. But they didn't say we were Ashemim for Mechiras Yosef.
Correct.
They were Ashemim al Asher Reinu Tzoras Nafsho, the Schanano Elena Velo Shamanu. So they never accepted responsibility for Mechiras Yosef. It means they felt they were right till the end.
Yeah, I spoke about this last week in Drasha. Yeah, I spoke about this ocean from a different how the Mechira itself, what they viewed that they did wrong.
Okay,
yeah.
Rabbi.
Yeah, Milti.
Yitzchak and Yosef were a big part of the problem. Yitzchak, the fact that he made Yosef the coat. Yosef, when he went in front of the brothers and he told the brothers,
yeah,
he told them his dreams and you bow down to me. He egged them on. How come the Torah makes the brothers out to be the bad guys?
Gemara, you're right. I don't know why the Torah is not clear on this. The Gemara is very, very clear. Gemara Baba Basra, I believe in the 10th parak of Baba Basra, Yesh Ochlin, writes that Yaakov, no one should ever favor one child over the other.
Okay, that's one thing. But then with Yosef,
Gemara takes Yaakov to task for this and puts some responsibility on Yaakov as well.
But Yosef told him his dreams.
Yes.
Told the brothers their dreams. And he told about the sun and the moon, everybody bowed down. He was egging them on. He was telling them, look what I am. I'm the big shot here, and you have to bow down to me. So the same thing here. when you talk about when you do something wrong, like many were saying in the beginning, people sometimes will, a lot of people sometimes can never forgive. But I think more people have to look at themselves in the mirror and say, yeah, what did I do wrong, which caused somebody else to do something to me?
100%. 100%. I think that's a very
important lesson. The most important lesson, yeah, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of lessons here. There's a lot of important lessons in this.
Rabbi.
Yes. Yes, Mendy.
I have Maura Honey here. So she brought up an interesting point. She said, not only did the brother is basically not ask Mechila, but they also blame Yehuda.
They almost put him
in Chayrim because of what is the action here. So there's more to it than just asking. They basically shoved the blame on one of the brothers.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. Now let's continue on. I think this is an amazing point. The Tzror HaMor. Sorry, the Tzror HaMor is one of the early Mefarshim on the Chumash. No, you continue on. Vayomer Yosef el Achav. Yosef then says to the brothers, Gishu na elai, come closer to me. Vayigashu, and they approach him. You know, and he's asking, why are they coming closer? Everybody was already removed from here. The only people left in the room were these 12 brothers, 11 and 1, Yosef and the 11 brothers. Why are they coming closer? Vayomer ani Yosef achichem, asher mechartem osi mitzrayma. I am Yosef, your brother, who you sold to Egypt. Now, the Tzror HaMor, Rashi says here, why? He was showing them the bris milah. He was showing them, so he needed them to practically come closer. I have a bris. This is my simen that I am Yosef. Like, how would you prove that this is actually Yosef? Only the Jewish men back then, children of Yaakov, had a bris. And that was the proof. The Tzror HaMor says something different and very sensitive at this moment. See, the one person in the room that is the most confused as to what is going on is Binyamin. Binyamin is like, wait a minute. I don't even know what to recognize to even consider this as Yosef. The brothers, some say they didn't recognize it because of a beard. They sort of could figure out that this makes sense, that it looks like Yosef. They know these details. They know that they really didn't kill him and that he was plucked out of the pit and sold. They know these things. So it sort of makes sense. The only person that nothing makes sense to is Binyamin. Binyamin was told a lie his whole life that Yosef was dead. So what does Yosef do? Come closer. He excludes Binyamin from this conversation on purpose. Binyamin does not need to know this part. By the way, Binyamin's not a young boy. We treat him and like, oh, he's like a little, he's like 9 years old. He's not 9 years old. He's definitely a lot older. He's in his 20s. He's much older than that. So he's at least 22. But they remove him from this part of the conversation because they don't want this to get back to Yaakov in the wrong way, or even to him in the wrong way. This needs to be, when we're sharing very delicate and sensitive information to somebody, we don't always share that the same way to every person. So Binyamin needed that in a very different way than the other brothers. Think about when we pass on tzoros to other people. Somebody, lo aleinu, passes away. What do we do with that information? So we don't share that in the same way to every person. Here, Yosef wanted to be extra careful in the way that this was given over, dafka to Binyamin. And that's why he didn't say in the first round, I'm Yosef, who you sold to Egypt. First time he just said, I'm Yosef, is my father alive? Second time, I'm Yosef, who you sold. And that was only when the brothers huddled in. And again, Yosef was removed from that. Binyamin was removed from that part of the conversation.
Rabbi?
Yes.
You know, interestingly, the Torah only addresses the feelings of the brothers towards Yosef. The one who initiated it was Yaakov, obviously, with the coat. So therefore, nothing specifically addresses that situation, their feelings toward their father.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%.
I mean, Yosef didn't ask for it.
One question that we can ask on this story. There are a lot of difficult questions that we can ask. Discuss that you're shot. Is Yaakov ever find out what happened? Does Yaakov ever find out the true story? Does he know what happens? So I'd like to share with you the opinion of Rav Shimon Schwab from his Sefer Mayan Beis HaShoeva. So this is another part of the story that really needs to be analyzed. Mem Hei Chavav. So the brothers come back with all of these wagons full with gifts for Yaakov. V'yagidu lo le'mor. And they tell Yaakov, imagine they probably huddle around, they circle around Yaakov, and they say, Od Yosef Chai. Yosef is indeed alive. V'chihu Moshel b'chol eretz Mitzrayim. And you're not going to believe it, Abba. He is the ruler over all of Egypt. Vayafag libo. Literally means his heart became faint. I believe it's the Ramban or one of the other Mefarshim that says that he had a heart attack. He literally had a heart attack at that moment. He survived. But he had a heart. He didn't believe them. How could he believe them? Right? Just imagine that moment. Vayidabru elav es kol divrei Yosef. Then he says all the words of Yosef, all the things of Yosef. It's unclear. What does that mean? Does that mean the most recent part? Does that mean the whole story? Asher diber lehem, vayaras ha'agalos, asher shalach Yosef la'seizoso. And then he sees the wagons that Yosef sent, vatechi ruach Yaakov avihem, and then Yaakov is revived. Now, what happens here? They tell Yaakov, he doesn't believe them. He sees the wagons, and then he is revived, and he says, Vayomer Yisrael, Rav Od Yosef Bini Chai. In fact, now I believe you that my brother, that Yosef is still alive. What changed? They believe him, they don't believe him. What changed in these two episodes? In these two psukim, that first he didn't, and then he does.
I think the last thing that he was learning with Yosef was Egel Arufa.
Yeah, so now what does that mean? Now, what does that mean? Rashi tells us that the last thing that Yaakov learned with Yosef was the halachos of Egel Arufa. And it's a play on words. Agala is a wagon. So Yosef sent Agalot. And what were they learning? Egel Arufa, the halacha of the calf with the broken neck. What's the halacha of the calf with the broken neck? This is the halacha. If a person dies, it's the end of Parsha Shoftim, dies in between two cities. An unidentified man, exactly between two cities, and we don't know who murdered this person. So what needs to happen? The Zakenim from Yerushalayim, from the Sanhedrin Agadola, need to come down to this spot and make an atonement for this body, for this person. And they have to say, Kaper la'amcha Yisrael, we, Yadenu lo shafchu es adam hazeh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please forgive the Jewish people. We did not spill this boy's blood. That is the halacha, the basics, the 32nd understanding of this halacha of Egla Arufa. So how does this connect to the story itself? So Shav says the following. So they're telling, why does Yaakov not believe them? He says, because they're telling him this story. And Yaakov says, wait a minute. You showed me a coat with blood. I sent Yosef to him. And now the brother, now he's that guy that is saying all these, is driving you crazy. The story doesn't add up. It doesn't make sense. So Yaakov doesn't understand what's going on here. And then he sees the agalos. And he says, it's not just the agalos themselves. And that, it's Egla Rufa and Agala. But Yosef has a message here. The message is, here, Rosh Schwab says, Yossi says, I forgive my brothers. The brothers relate the story. Vayidabru es kol divrei Yosef. The Ramban says everything, from soup to nuts, everything. Why is Yaakov revived? Because after hearing all of that, he expects Yosef to be bitter and angry and full of jealousy and rage over his brothers. But what does he do? He sends Yaakov the hint of Egla Rufa. Egla Rufa is the Zakenim come down. The elders of the generation come down and they say, Yadenu Losh Kaper L'Amcha Yisrael. Kadosh Baruch Hu, forgive your people. We did not spill their blood. Yosef was telling Yaakov, I forgive my brothers. I'm absolving them of this sin. They were not responsible. Or I don't hold them responsible anymore. This is Rav Schwab's understanding of the hint of the Agala. It's deeper than just, this is our learning. And it wasn't that Yaakov, now it's not that Yaakov, but now he believed, he understood, but the Vatechi Yaakov Ruach Avihem, Yaakov was revived. That Yosef has this ability to forgive, to have Mechila, is something that brings him back to life. And now he says, I need to see my son Yosef. So that is a thought of Rav Schwab. And I think this could be debated. Discusses at your Shabbos table. This is definitely, it's not clear within the Mefarshim whether Yaakov found that or not. But Rav Schwab understands it in this way.
So I have a question, a side issue on this. Peter. The timeline on how the Torah was given and when it was given. So this is all prior to receiving, you know, Torah Mesinai. So how did they know all this stuff and be able to discuss all this stuff and learn all this stuff? Where did they learn it from?
It's a great question. I could ask this question about a lot of different parts of the Torah. Like when the Malachim came to Avraham, the Rashi points out that it was Pesach and Yaakov and Sarah was making matzahs. So, you know, how do we know this? So the Gemara, I'll tell you, the Mishnah writes in Kiddushin that Avraham Avinu kept Kol HaTorah Kula. How did he know it? The Mishnah says something very strange. The Mishnah says, Kloyos Yoatzos, that his kidneys, his kishkas, right? That's what it means. His kishkas taught him the Torah. So what does that mean? So literally means like he intuited the Torah. And that's very strange. So one understanding that I connect to myself, I find satisfying for myself, is the following. The Zohar writes that when God created the world, he stakel ba'raisa u'bara oma, that first God looked into the Torah and then he created the world. That the Torah is the blueprint for the world, right? You're building a house. Before you build a house, you have to go to an architect, and the architect needs to write a blueprint. Another blueprint, or all these details, some of them that the layman can understand. Yeah, this is a kitchen, this is the bathroom, this is the study, this is the basement, great. And there's a lot of other calculations and numbers there, which a layman has no idea what they are. But a contractor does. A contractor then builds the house based on the architectural designs. So if somebody is so in tuned with a house, meaning if somebody walked into your house, Peter, and is an architect, really chaps the depths of building and structure and design, they can probably reconstruct the blueprints to your house. Maybe they need a little bit of, they need a hammer and nails to get in to understand what's behind the walls. But with a little bit of time and work and effort, they can rewrite your blueprints. So Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, Chazal understood they kept Kol HaTorah Kula. How did they do that? How did they understand that? Because they intuited the world. When they were so in tune with the world, they can go ahead, take the building and rewrite the blueprint and keep the Torah. That's the way I understand when this happens. And then there are questions that we have. How did Yaakov marry two wives, etc.? You have a lot of questions like that. How did they, if they kept Kol HaTorah Kula, what about the ones they violated? So those are, and the, again, in Mefarshim, Rashi, Ramban, also Rishonim, we're dealing with these questions and, you know, Ad HaYom HaZeh. Thank you. That was very, thank you for that question. It's a recurring question throughout Bereishis. Last thought for today comes a few psukim later. And Yaakov is leaving Israel. And Yaakov is leaving Eretz Israel. And we view this as not just that Yaakov is leaving Eretz Israel. Yaakov really understands when he's leaving Eretz Israel, the Jewish people are leaving Eretz Israel. They're not coming back for a long time. This is going to be a long, long journey, a dark galus. He doesn't know what's going to be. He's very nervous. And in fact, the Torah says Yaakov is afraid. He's afraid of what's going to happen to his children. And he knows, maybe he doesn't understand, but he knows that this is part of the Bris Ben Bessarim. This is part of this bigger plan. And the way this is framed, he brings Korbanos. He meets in Be'er Sheva, which is very significant. Be'er Sheva specifically is the place where Yaakov decides to bring Korbanos before he leaves. And you, by the way, if you're in Be'er Sheva, modern day Be'er Sheva, on the outskirts of Be'er Sheva, it's a beautiful city that's been busting and booming in growth, Baruch Hashem, you can see Egypt. It's not so far off. On a good day, on a good sunny day, I've been there, you can take a picture and you could see the border of Egypt. Again, there's a buffer zone in between due to the treaty, that took place between Sadat and Begin in the early 80s. That's where Be'er Sheva is. It's the last stop. And he brings Korbanos. And then the Torah says the following. Vayomer Elokim liYisrael b'maros halayla. God came to Yisrael, to Yaakov, at night. The Meshech Chachma on this Pasuk points out that this is the only time that Hashem appears to one of the Avos at night. The Maros Halayla. By Avraham and Yitzchak, he never came at night. And why is that? There was something very important that Hashem needed to teach Yaakov and really teach all of us at this moment. And I'm quoting now, Lahara Shach Balayla, Becheshkas Hagos, Shora Shechina B'Yisrael. Even at night, in the darkness of the Gullus, of the exile, Hashem is with us. Right? That's why Yaakov Avinu was the one that was Mesaken Mariv, Davening Mariv, seeing Hashem even at night. It could be that Yaakov, saw Hashem also on Har HaMoriah, and that was at night. That's a discussion amongst the Mefarshim if that really was at night or if that was earlier. But nonetheless, at this moment, HaKadosh Baruch Hu needed to teach Yaakov this important and invaluable lesson. Even when we're experiencing the darkest parts of our history, Hashem is there with us. That's why we say every single day in davening, Yancha Hashem biyom sarah. Hashem's going to answer us on the day of our pain, on the days of our difficulty. What are the next words of that pasuk? Anyone know? B'shem Elokei Yaakov. Hashem's going to answer us on the day of our tzara. Yisagevcha, in the God of who? The God of Jacob, the God of Yaakov. Yaakov was the one more than Avram and Yitzhak that experienced gullus throughout his life. A personal and tragic gullus, difficulties with his sons, with his children, with his wives, and with Klal Yisrael. He experienced the gullus of Lavan. He experienced the gullus of Mitzrayim. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his parting message to him, as his children are entering Mitzrayim for 210 years of a very dark and deep servitude, gullus, torture, and very, very difficult circumstance for the Jewish people, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, Imo Anochi Bitzara. I am with you throughout this entire time. I am here with you through your difficult times. And that was the party message that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Yaakov, the Maros Halayla. So for today, we discussed five very, very important words of Torah. Number one, Ha'od Avichai is my father still alive? The miscommunication in the story here. Hotzil ish kol ish me'alai. Yossi removed all of his personal negios, the anger, the frustration, the arrogance, when he finally told the brothers. He wanted that to be genuine and real and vulnerable. We discuss whether Yaakov ever found out the truth, the Ayegal Rufa, and the Agalos, Vatechi Yaakov Ruach Avihem, with Rav Schwab. We discussed here Hotziu Kol Ish Me'alai, and we discussed the Tzura Hamor, that he specifically told all the brothers, to the exclusion of Binyamin, to be sensitive to Binyamin's predicament and to tell him at the right time what exactly happened. I wish everybody a healthy, safe, and inspiring Shabbos and a easy and meaningful fast tomorrow. Join us tonight, 8:30, to celebrate Baruch Hashem. It's been a very exciting past 2 days in Shomrei Torah and Fairlawn community at large, the refurbishing of our mikvah. Celebrate tonight with us at 8:30 with the Rabbinic and Rebbetzin Roundtable. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to have a great time at 8:30 tonight. That's on this same Zoom room right here. Look forward to seeing you there.